I'm Evan Solomon. Welcome to this edition of Power Play. Canada has just announced a big increase for its support in Ukraine. I'll give you the details. Here's part of the headlines. Look at the Prime Minister.
Canada will be there to provide ongoing support to Ukraine so that it can defend itself. Let there be no mistake that Canada, alongside all of our democratic allies, stands strong for Ukraine. Today, I've authorized the extension of Operation Unifier for 3 more years and the expansion of this training mission, as well as immediate support.
So, what is exactly Canada doing? Canada is extending, as you just heard the Prime Minister say, Operation Unifier for 3 years. That's got 200 troops on the ground right now in western Ukraine. 60 new personnel will be deployed in the days ahead to augment the already 200 trainers on the ground in western Ukraine. There'll be a further capacity to increase that mission up to 400, doubling its size. Canada will be sending non-lethal equipment to Ukraine and will include intelligence sharing and support. The cost of these new measures, $340 million. Canada will not be sending lethal weapons, though he didn't rule that out. There will also be a $50 million for development and humanitarian aid in Ukraine. The defense minister will be traveling to Ukraine and Latvia. Canada has about 900 troops there as well in the coming days. And the defense minister, Anita Anand, is about to join us in just a few seconds there. And the press gallery with the former defense minister, Peter MacKay, is standing by so we can give this into context. But while we wait for the defense minister, Glenn McGregor, CTV National News senior political correspondent, is with us to break it down. So there's the general outline. What stood out for you, Glenn?
That this is a fairly small response. I mean, he's talking about doubling the size of the Canadian troops who are in Ukraine right now, but he's doubling a fairly small number, 200 troops going up to 460 in the immediate future. But let's be clear about who these troops are. They are trainers. These are not combat troops. They are located mostly in the western part of Ukraine, nowhere near the areas that are most threatened by some 100,000 Russian troops. And then look at the commitment of military equipment. Canada saying they're going to provide non-lethal defensive equipment. Those are things like armored vests and scopes, but nothing that goes bang or boom, as the Ukrainians have requested. They actually want real weapons they can use to defend themselves against the Russians. The Conservative Party just moments ago putting out a press release attacking that decision, saying we should be following some of our other NATO allies that are providing those kinds of weapons to Ukraine. So, it's a symbolic gesture. We also didn't hear anything more about exactly what sanctions will be applied. I guess the government has decided they're going to hold those back until they announce them once Russian, if they do, start to further invade Ukraine. So I think for people who are looking for a very forceful, strong response, you're not seeing it in this today. Although the words are strong, the action, less so.
Okay, Glenn, there's 60 more troops there. Again, these troops are training troops in western Ukraine. Obviously, the action is the threat from Russia in the east. The prime minister was asked, could these troops ever be deployed in the east? He said no. Now the defense minister is going to Ukraine. Did the prime minister rule out sending lethal weapons?
He didn't rule it out. And let's talk a little more about those troops. I was with the prime minister back in 2016 when he visited those troops in an area called Lviv in western Ukraine near the Polish border. And they do excellent work. I mean, they are training. Some 30,000 Ukrainian troops have been trained, according to the prime minister. You heard the defense minister list the kind of areas that they are being trained in, including IED disposal, which Canada has a lot of experience with from our mission in Afghanistan, as well as some other technique, military policing, combat medicine, those kinds of things, all very useful. But will this really be any kind of deterrent to the Russians? I think it's highly unlikely that anyone in the Kremlin is watching this and going, oh no, they're doubling the number of training forces they have. But now Canada does have in the region actual combat troops as part of a NATO mission called Operation Reassurance, which is now located in Latvia. Basically, these are actual combat troops who are there to discourage Russian invasion there. Distinction there is Latvia is a NATO member country. Ukraine is not. So different rules apply there. But I think, you know, the government is going to have to defend its decision not to give a more forceful response, and certainly a decision, and we heard lots of questions from journalists there, the Prime Minister, depending on your point of view, either adequately or did not adequately explain why he's not providing actual lethal combat weapons, rather just defensive weapons.
Yeah, and we have Anita Nan, the defense minister, standing by. She's going to join us in just a minute. I will also ask her, what's the rationale? Did they rule out sending lethal weapons? I spoke to the former Ukrainian ambassador to Canada last night on this program. They want lethal weapons yesterday. That was not forthcoming. So there's that issue. While we're here and waiting for the defense minister, the prime minister was also asked about Canada's support or his thoughts on the truck convoy. This is the truck convoy that is on its way to Ottawa that is protesting both the U.S. and the Canadian mandate that all cross-border truckers need vaccines, although clearly it's morphed into a bigger protest. What did he say about those, the protests, and maybe the politics of the protests, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, on the politics side, he's talking about, and you rightly observe that this thing has become larger than just the vaccine mandate that applies to what is a comparatively small fraction of the Canadian trucking fleet who are crossing the border. We think about 90% of all Canadian truckers have been vaccinated, and of course, those who are going into the United States are also going to face the U.S. rule that requires them to be vaccinated as well. So, but this protest, this freedom convoy, as it's called, has really kind of mushroomed into something larger. It's become kind of a channel, a vehicle, if you will, for a lot of grievances about the government's pandemic response. Prime Minister talking about that, saying a lot of these people are using the platform to advance what he's calling unacceptable opinions. He says most Canadians, 90%, almost 90% of Canadians have been vaccinated, and he says they're doing their part. These people, he says, are not doing theirs.
Okay, so Glenn, stand by. So the defense minister is, we're trying to get that link up to Anita Nan. She was just with the prime minister, so we can dig deeper in. The press gallery is also standing by, and the former defense minister, Peter MacKay, is there. Interesting, Glenn, the conservatives were wanting a number of things. They had wanted the extension of Operation Unifier. That's done 3 years. They doubled the size, 200 to 400, 60 troops going in immediately. They also wanted at least the use, not just of non-lethal weapons. The conservatives have long wanted the Ukrainian military to have access to something called RadarSat. RadarSat is three advanced satellites that Canada uses that have imagery. In 2015, as you well know, the conservative government gave the Ukrainians access in the wake of the Crimean issue. They no longer have it. There was no announcement on whether that will be part of the intel sharing that Canada gave.
That's the key point there, Evan. We don't know if that increased intelligence sharing would include access to those high-resolution RadarSat images, which would be, of course, extremely useful in this situation when you have the Russian army massing on your borders. Yeah, and the Conservatives have also called for the Canadian government to use something called the Magnitsky Act, a mechanism to impose sanctions on the Putin regime. We didn't hear the Prime Minister say that, although he did say there could be sanctions in the future. Melanie Joly has been talking that up for the last week or so. Right. She said they will likely apply in the financial sector. The danger with sanctions, though, or at least the problem with them, is that they can be countervailed by sanctions from the other side. So if you freeze the assets of Russian nationals in Canada, you expose Canadian citizens to the same kind of treatment back in Russia. But it really is kind of a very much a symbolic act, because there isn't a great deal of Russian money in Canada right now. So these things are really more for show than for effect. And Canada has been applying sanctions since 2014 when the Russians annexed Crimea illegally. They haven't really had any effect in the to the extent that it's changed anybody's minds in the Kremlin.
Yeah, and again, I'm just getting word here, Glenn, and I appreciate you staying with us, as that we really do want to get the defense minister to do her first interview after that. We are linking up, sure. Such is the nature of technology right now. Glenn, let's put this into the larger picture. The European Union, of course, they have a response there as well. They, of course, have different concerns. 40% of their natural gas comes from Russia through Gazprom, which is the company, the state-owned company there. Not state-owned, rather, the company there in Russia. The other issue is the United States. Secretary Anthony Blinken, their Secretary of State, was out today saying they've sent a letter to the Russians. They put in writing, let's begin the process to try to de-escalate the situation, but not... They're trying to say, we're not trying to negotiate. We're not negotiating you take X and you take Y. Put Canada's response into the bigger picture, Glenn.
I don't know internationally how much of a difference Canada's response makes here. This is not a theater that we have a particularly great deal of influence in, because there are so many European countries that have an interest in a peaceful resolution of this. And, of course, the United States seems to be the chief interlocutor with Putin and the Russians. I don't know that Canada's role is really anything above and beyond just showing symbolic support. So to that extent, it may help a little bit, but... I don't know if it's going to have an impact and really change the course of this in any way. One other thing I noticed listened to in that press conference, Evan, that I thought was kind of interesting, was a journalist right at the end asked the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, about whether her Ukrainian roots, which she talks up all the time, had an influence on her role in this decision, the decision of the federal government. And she gave a very forceful response to that. Wasn't angry, yeah. But you could tell she was getting close. And she talked about the fact that, she has Ukrainian roots. Her mom was from Ukraine. But on her paternal side, she has roots to go back to England. And nobody asked her whether her English roots have any effect on her decision. I thought it was sort of an unexpected moment in that press conference.
It was. Yeah, and very rarely is a politician asked about that. Okay, Glenn McGregor, who's done great work analyzing this, our senior political correspondent here at the CTV Bureau. Thanks, Glenn. We do have the defense minister, Anita Anand, who has just linked up to us, and it is always a pleasure to welcome Anita Anand to the program. Minister, thanks for being here. Obviously, this is a big series of announcements. Let me try to get some clarity, and we'll go through the announcement in a minute. Has Canada ruled out at all sending lethal weapons to Ukraine, as the Ukrainian government has continually asked Canada to send?
Today's announcement was about extending and expanding Operation Unifier. We are continuing to evaluate the situation on the ground with our Ukrainian counterparts. I'm in regular contact with Minister Reznikov, and we will continue to evaluate the needs on the ground and act accordingly.
Okay, I'm trying to interpret that, and I heard you and the Prime Minister. But you're just saying they've asked for it. Canada didn't send the lethal weapons. But has Canada ruled out doing that?
As I said, we are continuing to evaluate the situation. So we will continue to consider all options. I'm in close contact with, for example, General Wayne Ayer on this very issue. And today's announcement really, Evan, is about sending more troops to Ukraine to assist with the training mission there. We have trained over 30,000 Ukrainian soldiers, including 2,000 members of the Ukrainian National Guard. This is an incredibly important moment for us as a country in extending this mission for 3 years and $340 million. So I think that we really should focus on that at the current time. The most important contribution, or at least one of the most important contributions Canada as a country has made and can make, is in human resources, in having people on the ground to assist with the training mission. And that's exactly what we have committed to do today.
How fast will the 60 new troops go to Operation Unifier? Do you know where they'll be drawn from Canada? And just if I may, the Prime Minister said it can extend up to 400 troops, so that'd be another 140 after that. Is there a date for that to happen?
We know that up to 60 Canadian Armed Forces members will be departing in the coming days, and the ceiling is up to 400 under the extended Operation Unifier. We are at the current time making decisions relating to who in particular will be going and where they will be drawn from. But I'd like to really position this as an important moment, as I said, for the Canadian Armed Forces and for Canada. Our presence not only in Ukraine under UNIFIER, but in the region as a whole under Operation Reassurance is significant. We have 900 soldiers approximately under Operation Reassurance at the current time. And so the security that we are able to offer to Ukraine and the surrounding region at the current time in the face of potential further Russian aggression into Ukraine is very important, and that's one of the reasons why I'll be visiting Ukraine in the coming days.
Right. The context, I know we have the 900 in Latvia, they're essentially a tripwire. You know, Russia's got 100,000 troops at the border now, so the numbers are important. We have special forces on the ground, we know, as part of Operation UNIFIER in Ukraine. Are those special forces also going to eastern Ukraine? They're in the west now. Are they going in eastern Ukraine to help do threat assessments with the Ukrainian military?
Well, I think that we have to acknowledge that the safety and security of the Canadian Armed Forces is the most important issue here for me as the Minister of National Defence, and it would be imprudent and unsafe if I were to reveal information relating to the whereabouts of our troops at this time.
We are sending non-lethal equipment. I know the scopes and body armour. What other exact kind of non-lethal equipment will Canada send?
Evan, we will be sending we've already sent mobile hospitals. We'll continue to provide that equipment. We have surveillance equipment, communications equipment, equipment to assist with devices that may explode, and goggles as well as other body equipment. So there is an array of supplies and equipment that is available and on the table here for Ukraine in terms of non-lethal aid. And as I mentioned today, it's not just this non-lethal aid that we're contributing. Of course, the increase in the number of troops up to 400, cyber surveillance and security via the Communication Security Establishment is also being contributed to Ukraine. So this is full-fledged support. And as you know, we did offer financial aid in the amount of $120 million last week. This is across government, multiple ministers working together to make sure we have comprehensive support in place for Ukraine.
Minister, does the intel support and the surveillance support that you mentioned include Ukraine using imagery from Canada's RADARSAT constellation mission, the three key observation satellites? They had used that back in 2015. Will Canada share imagery, and will the Ukrainian military have access to imagery from RADARSAT?
Well, actually, I am currently discussing this at the current time with Chief of Defence Staff Wayne Ayer, and one of the issues I will be discussing in my trip in the coming days in Ukraine will relate to surveillance writ large, as well as a number of other issues.
So have the Ukrainians specifically asked to use RADARSAT and get imagery from RADARSAT as they had in 2015 after Russia illegally annexed Crimea? You're open to that? You're finalizing the details on that. Is that fair to say?
I think what would be prudent for me to say at this time is that the announcement that we made today is the current aid that we are offering to Ukraine, and any further aid will be announced when it occurs. And that is important to remember, that up to 400 Canadian Armed Forces members are able to be on the ground in Ukraine. We've trained over 30,000 Ukrainian soldiers, and I don't want Canadians to underestimate the importance of this training mission. In my discussion with my counterparts in the U.S. and the U.K., for example, Canada's role in training Ukrainian soldiers has been heralded as a very important aspect of Ukrainian security and stability.
Minister, you know why you and the Prime Minister were getting questions. The UK, the US, NATO allies like Spain, they've all sent weapons to Ukraine. Ukraine is clearly asking for lethal weapons. The former Ukrainian ambassador to Canada, Andrei Shevchenko, was on this program last night saying, we need lethal weapons immediately. That is the best deterrent. Canada didn't do it. And we also didn't hear about any new sanctions on Russia, any new sanctions, Magnitsky-style sanctions on Russian personnel. So, what about sanctions? Will Canada be using sanctions on Russia?
Well, let me just back up to reiterate that the announcement today relating to increased number of trainers, as well as assistance with cybersecurity and surveillance, as well as the $120 million loan made for economic stability. These are comprehensive supports that we will continue to offer to Ukraine going forward. And in the area of sanctions, at the current time, Russia has a choice. The choice is to de-escalate and engage in diplomacy, or to face grave consequences in the area of sanctions. And so those are a real possibility, but we need to let diplomacy take its work, and we are coordinating across our NATO allies to ensure that diplomacy is possible and hopefully will work in this very concerning situation.
And when do you leave for Latvia and Ukraine?
In the coming days.
Defense Minister Anita Nand, I really appreciate you jumping from that conference right to our viewers here on Power Play. Thank you very much for your time.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Okay, so you heard the details from the defense minister. Obviously, there's lots of questions. Why not lethal weapons? Is this a robust enough response? I'm going to bring in the former minister of defense for the conservative government. Peter McKay joins us right now. Mr. McKay, he is now, by the way, I should say, an advisor for Deloitte and McInnes Cooper. You heard the minister and you heard the prime minister. Is Canada's response, in your view, robust enough?
Evan, I think it's measured, and I think they're taking a bit of a go-slow approach. But at the same time, these are substantive measures that will make a difference that the Ukrainians are looking for. Yes, by all means, they're looking for weapons. They are looking for an effort which, let's be frank, let's put this in a context. This will not be a fair fight. If Russia was to roll tanks and start entering Ukraine tomorrow, this would be a bloodbath. They are badly outnumbered. They are badly, in terms of equipment, outgunned. And so that is why there is clearly a sense of urgency. But having satellite surveillance, certainly to help on the cyber, more trainers, all of this, it helps. There's no question. And so, you know, the government of Canada is being more hawkish than others, including some NATO allies. And so is to be commended for taking the steps that they've announced today, including the loan, which I understand was specified in the sense that it wasn't to be used for weapons. But all that has been offered today will help, as have previous contributions, night vision goggles, scopes, mobile hospitals, defensive type of equipment, being able to demine certain areas. These are pieces of a puzzle, but in a massive ground offensive, Russia is going to roll over Ukraine in the current status.
Peter McKay, just got a couple minutes here. What did you make of well, I asked the defense minister and the prime minister was asked, did he rule out lethal weapons? It seems there's a fair bit of room. They're doubling the size of Unifier, but they seem not to have ruled out, A, the use of radar sat and maybe even shipping lethal weapons, depending on the situation. How did you read it?
I read it the same way. I think that they have left that open. I would suggest that the radar sat is the proverbial no-brainer. They should do that, just as they've now given certainty to Unifier for the next 3 years and upped the ability to have more trainers there, perhaps going to 400, more special forces I can see happening, and sanctions. You mentioned in your questioning of the minister whether they would go down the route of further Magnitsky sanctions. I think that does have an impact. and as kicking them out of the G8 did when Russia was removed from the G8. You know, there are other things that can be explored, removing them from the Security Council. And if it comes to what Canada can provide, we have main battle tanks. We have howitzers. We have the type of armament that they could use. But let's hope, as the minister clearly understated or underscored, that we want to pursue all diplomatic efforts as well. And we would hope that Sergei Lavrov, who, by the way, was the foreign minister when I was foreign minister, going back as far as 2000s. Yeah. Which speaks to their democracy, that they will engage and that they will look at this situation through the human lens and knowing that there is going to be mass casualties on both sides.
Yeah, interesting. Anita Nin going to the region, both Latvia for the 900 troops and Ukraine, and again, that she will hear a large, loud call from the Ukrainians for more. But a very interesting announcement today. Peter MacKay, I really appreciate you jumping on here to get your reaction to Anita Anand and the Prime Minister's announcement. Thank you so much. And that's your Power Play Day in Politics, folks. Went fast. So a very live event today. We'll have lots more extensive coverage of Canada's commitment to Ukraine and this evolving situation there and the trucker convoy. So there's lots of news. We'll be back here in 23 short hours to cover all of it. Hug your loved ones. It's a great privilege. Thanks for watching. Have a great evening.